Good morning to each of you. I know here we are at the middle of the service, and I'm looking around, and I know most of you. As I told the children, my name is Jennifer Holzlander, and I'm so grateful to be here with you today to sing, to pray, to read Scripture, to reflect on what our loving God might be saying to us through these Scripture texts. And I'm going to try and make sure that I've done what I'm supposed to do here. You got good sound up there? Good. Have you got good sound out here? All right. There are lots of ways to hear the voice of God, lots of ways to develop our relationship with the Creator, with Jesus, with the life-giving Spirit. And one of the ways that grows out of our Christian faith tradition is reflecting on the patterns that we see revealed in the Bible. I'm very grateful for the opportunity to connect with the children a little bit this summer. They, too, are reflecting on the stories of the Bible. And this summer, Kaylee has selected that they would do that through listening both to learning the books of the Bible names so that they can find their way in this book, but also through listening to the stories of people of faith, people who have lived lives as people of the book, and as they tell their stories to say, this is what's important to me, this is my favorite book of the Bible, or this is the story of the Bible that means the most to me right now. Sharing those stories in a faith community is so important, because as much as we might say that faith is caught more than it's taught, I think it has to be shared in order for it to be caught. We have to speak our stories of what God has done in our lives in order for people to catch that. So I'm so grateful that they're able to do that together. My mother-in-law is down there, Norma's down there, and she said to me by text yesterday, I just read the bulletin, and I see that you're singing in the service and you're preaching in the service, and I'm not going to hear either of them because I'm going to be downstairs with the kids, so I guess I'll have to watch later on the recording. Good. Good. You can tell me later what you think. It's so important for us to tell the stories of how God is blessing us, and I'm so grateful that Norma has stories to tell. If you feel like, as you listen today, here in this room, or at home by Zoom, or on Facebook, if you feel like it's a stretch for you to say, God has blessed me, I'd invite you to choose to be in conversation with someone who you can trust. And if you don't have anyone who has that kind of relationship with you, I'd encourage you just keep asking God about it. There are many people around you who the Spirit can bring into your life to have that conversation with you. And if it's, you know, a last resort or a first resort even, you're welcome to call on me. I am happy to be part of those conversations. It's a gift to stand in a stream of relationship that's grown from people who have let their experience be one of being loved by God. And as people let that grow in their lives, it's a gift to be part of those conversations that develop through the centuries of interaction with the written tradition of Scripture. Now, there are many places in the world that transformations are taking place today, but that little enclosure right there is one of those spaces that has really captured my attention over the last while, and I'm very grateful that Kaylee let me talk to the kids about it this morning. There are 9 transformations taking place right there, and if we were to count the number of people present in this conversation, I would say that as many people as are part of this conversation are also in the midst of transformation as well. Over the last 2 weeks, these little caterpillars have gone from 2 millimeters up to 4.5 centimeters and now have enclosed themselves in a chrysalis. I learn all the time. They have eaten and slept. They have relieved themselves. Every day we clean out their enclosure. They eat again. They are tireless in their quest. And now they are entering what appears to be 2 weeks of rest and silence, but it's actually profound transformation. Yesterday, they climbed up and attached themselves to that still space, and their bodies formed this little J. And then after a few hours, their exoskeleton split, and they shimmy out of it, and it falls to the ground, and a cocoon is there. It's a beautiful green cocoon. You can come look afterwards. And it has these golden spots on it. I've read about monarchs my whole life, heard about this process of transformation, but last year and this year, hosting these creatures as they go through their process has been this, like, oh my goodness, amazing experience. They are no longer caterpillars, and yet they are not able to fly. As they've worked their way through their experience of eating and then through the metamorphosis that will restructure their whole selves from crawlers into flyers, they are focused on what they evolved, what they were created to do. They eat and breathe and rest, and then they repeat the process. They don't try to make the other caterpillars eat. You take care of what you need to take care of. I will eat what I need to eat. They don't try to convince the other caterpillars to nap. They just follow their best lifestyle for being great caterpillars. They are undistracted and undeterred. And when the balance of nature is healthy, once they become butterflies, they are a powerful and potent part of that pollination cycle that leads to fruit and seeds and new generations of plants that feed animals, that make new generations. But all the way along, those caterpillars and then the butterflies are only focused on being and becoming. They don't worry about all that other stuff that might come later. They are hungry, and God satisfies their need. They thirst, and God supplies their thirst. They neither rototill nor plant, they neither tend nor store up a harvest, and yet, in the natural balance of things, God provides for them day by day. By their being, their very being, they give honor and praise and glory to God, their Creator. Now, in a few weeks, when they eclose, because that's another vocabulary word I learned, they eclose from their chrysalises, they'll unfurl their wings, and they will never eat milkweed again. Picky eaters that they've been for the last 2 weeks, they won't want to eat that ever again. Flower nectar will be their food and drink. And when it's time to lay their eggs, they will seek out fresh, living milkweed, but only to lay their eggs. In our gospel text today, we are, I think encouraged is too light of a word, exhorted to protect ourselves against the least bit of greed. The farmer in the story wanted to build bigger barns. Jesus gave this as an example of living with selfishness, as a breaker of relationships, and not living with God as the center of our decisions. We're invited to steep ourselves in God reality rather than focusing on the rat race to stockpile billions of dollars or ultimate power or super fame. We are invited to respond to God's love and provision for us, and to develop a richness of relationship, first with God, and then with the other creatures in the world that God made. Some of those other creatures happen to be humans. There's lots of relationships to develop there, too. God provides abundantly for caterpillars to live, setting into motion a world where milkweed and monarchs, flourished side by side for eons. Imagine the ridiculous idea of these monarch caterpillars gathering up milkweed leaves and storing them in bundles for some future date, as though barns filled with dead leaves could satisfy their future butterfly selves or feed their baby caterpillars. Sometimes life makes us very aware of our hunger and our thirst. Sometimes we feel like we are without a home place and we do not know where to go. Sometimes we feel sad or afraid about the future. But God invites us to receive nourishment, love, wisdom, healing through faith, the walked out actions of relationship with God. The pathway of faith is based in that relationship with God and a community of companions. God is like the most loving and wise of parents, gently teaching us to walk and talk. So I wonder, what might be the milkweed of distraction for you or for me? What is it that you are tempted to store up in bundles? How can you be rich towards God? Do you experience God as kind and generous? One important way that we can build a rich relationship with God is to grow or heal our images, our ideas of God in a relationship, usually. Always. I don't know any other way to learn about God except to be in a relationship with other humans as well. I need people to walk alongside me for me to learn that. The prophet Hosea is one of those people who we can walk with today, and he gives us a beautiful image of God as a kind and generous parent who stoops and leans to help a wee human learning to walk. So actually, as I was thinking about this particular piece, I was thinking about Rosemary and Derek's granddaughter, who's got to be about that stage, Scarlett. It's got to be about that stage of having parents and grandparents kneeling down as the little one toddles between them back and forth. There's a step and a shuffle, maybe some teetering and tottering. I think that's where we get the word toddle from. And then there are those grown-ups there. The mama or the daddy reaches out to stabilize, maybe like, oh, rubs that little cheek. Oh, you're so lovely. I'm so proud of you. There's grinning and laughter, and perhaps the little one falls down and might hesitate to get back up, but the parent or the grandparent helps them up and encourages them to try again. And then, when all the steps have been made, there's cheering and have you been the adults who make a ridiculous fool of themselves for the joy and delight of the first steps of a child? Aunts and uncles and grandmas and grandpas and parents, we do this the whole world over. A loving parent will sweep that babe up and dance with them and celebrate their steps and the hopes and dreams that come with those steps. Now, there are lots of different scriptures that help us think about what God is like. This is not the only image of God. But this is one. The image of God as a good parent is one that can be helpful. Good parents want to provide for their children's needs and many of their wants as well. Good parents are in conversations with their children, modeling relationship and practices of repair and trying again even when you fall. Good parents help their children to look beyond getting hung up on what seems good today and instead teach their children to live with patterns that will help them to find the sweet nectar of wisdom, of relationship with God, of friendship and fellowship in a community. The image of God as a loving and good parent can help us to heal some of the painful experiences that we've had. The image of God as a loving and kind parent can help us to heal some of the challenging experiences that we've lived. I'm a parent. I have not always been a perfect parent. A little side eye to my kids there. But with love, we can look at God and know that we are beloved. Beloved by a God who is at least as loving as the most loving or kind parent that we've heard of, met, or imagined. God is at least that loving. Actually, way, way more. God is the kind of parent who stays right with us, even in the most painful of circumstances, to offer us love and presence and new breath. Now, if you're wondering today, is it really possible that God loves me as much as a loving mother or father? There's a test that you can do. I don't have scientific proof for this, but I think it should work. Here's the test. Check to see if you're breathing. If you're breathing, then you are loved by God. And there is an opportunity for you to develop closeness in your relationship with God. Now, you don't need to make other people breathe. You don't need to make other people notice that they're loved by God. You don't need to try and make other people soak up the nourishment of relationship with God. You can just, step by step, follow the instruction of a skilled guide, live in connection with the stories of Scripture, be in conversation with God, and you can be undistracted and undeterred in making time over and over again each day to soak up God's love for you. Now, when you soak up the truth of God's love for yourself and keep on being in those conversations, the balance of our lives becomes healthy. The balance of your life becomes healthy. And you can live a life of transformation. You are a powerful part of this life cycle that will lead to fruit and seeds and new generations of people who will know that they too are loved by God. But all the way along, the caterpillars, the butterflies, you and I need only be focused on experiencing God's love for us and the life-giving Spirit's invitations to us each day. Notice your hunger and your thirst for right living, and see God satisfy your hunger and supply your needs. By your very being, you give honor and praise and glory to God, your Creator. So along with Hosea and Jesus and the psalmist and these caterpillars and caterpillars in the in-between, let us join in saying thank you to God because God's love is good and God's love continues forever. Let's pray together. We thank you, loving God. You kneel beside us to be with us. You teach us to walk with you. Your kindness reaches out to us. We reach back to you. Help us to follow your patterns for healthy lives, so that we can share excitedly about your goodness to us. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.